I told him on credit that he just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Still to come on the program, we'll be joined by Dale Jackson, WVNN. That's about an hour from now. Make sure you stick around for that. Also coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, our friend from Lanyap, my boss, Rob Hulbert, will be with us. And then we'll wrap it all up with Congressman Jerry Carl of the 1st Congressional District. So please stick around for that. 251-343-0106 if you would like to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning. Joining us now, though, I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest. Hadn't talked to him in a hot minute here, but always takes our invitation, so we're very glad of that. State Senator Larry Stutz on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you? Thanks for having me on today.
Doing well. Thanks for making time. Let's get right into it. I guess you see how this Delta variant and COVID-19 is. It seems like it's making a comeback. At least that's my perception. I don't know if the numbers really bear that out compared to what we saw in 2020. But you look at this, and you were a big proponent of the vaccine early on. Where are we right now, do you think, as a state with this pandemic?
Well, we're certainly seeing an increase in the numbers. I can't quote all the statewide numbers to you, but I know at our hospital here in Sheffield, where I work, we were down to single digits. We were down to about 5 or 6 inpatients that were COVID positive. And over the weekend, we've gone back up. We have, I think the last count this morning is 20. But we had between 50 and 60 in the hospital back during the peak of the pandemic. So we're still way below those numbers, but we have had a significant increase.
Now, the vaccine, does it appear to be, for the most part, working like it's supposed to?
I think so. I took the vaccine early on. I was not in the very first group at our hospital to get it, simply because I waited a week just to make sure that all the people that were working in the intensive care unit and all that had the opportunity to get the first round. And then I took the Pfizer vaccine in the second week that we had it available here. And I think so. I mean, I'm confident that, I've got a significant level of immunity and I've not had COVID and I've taken care of a lot of patients with COVID. So the short answer, yeah, I think the vaccine is effective. The thing that convinced me the most that it was effective is the physician that was in charge of our COVID unit here at the hospital told me about 2.5 or 3 months into the vaccine program that he said, this vaccine is going to be a game changer. He said, I have not admitted a single patient to the hospital sick that has been vaccinated. And so I don't know that holds true 100% to date. I know some people that have been vaccinated are still getting COVID, but the bottom line is even if they do get it, they're getting a lot less sick and probably not requiring hospitalization. So I think getting a significant number of people vaccinated is going to be important. And, of course, the other thing you have to consider in herd immunity is the natural exposure. And as the number of people that have gotten COVID get well, I mean, there's a lot of data that natural immunity from having had the disease is also very protective, and you develop memory cells from that. So even if it's months down the road, you're still going to have a quick immune response if you get exposed after you've had it. So I think natural exposure and vaccines are both the key to getting through these increasing numbers.
What do you think, though? That was the discussion last week. Governor Ivey at a press gaggle in Birmingham, really trying to encourage people to get more people to get vaccinated. The press is really big on this one. What else can the state do? What can we do more? Do you think it is the role of government to try to encourage more vaccinations? And if so, what do you think of that? How do you do that?
Well, I think that the issue of encouraging people to do it, number one, it is certainly an individual choice. We should not be in a position of mandating any type of health care, mandating that you have to get this or you have to do this to participate in that. It should be an individual choice, but we need to have accurate information out. And I think that's what's confusing to a lot of people, is there is so much information and some misinformation about, is the vaccine effective? Is the vaccine safe? Is who should take it? What age group should take it? And, you know, I think that's been confusing to a lot of people. But I think the key in having more participation with vaccines is we should have involved the primary care physicians in the state early on in the process. You know, most people don't trust medicine in general. They don't trust the government, but most people trust their individual doctor. And so if you had it more available in private offices, if you had it where your doctor could recommend that you get the vaccine, you're much more likely to take it than you are to go to a drive-through clinic in a shopping center parking lot. And I understand, you know, we were trying to get mass vaccinations done early on, but I think the key to reaching people is their individual doctor saying, I would recommend you take this.
What do you find among the medical community, though, among your colleagues there? Do you find it there as they have as much faith in this vaccine or these vaccines, I guess, that are out there on the market?
I think so. Most, you know, I'll tell you, the physicians that I know on staff here that have not taken the vaccine are ones that have had COVID. And I know a few that had COVID and took the vaccine, but most of the physicians on staff here have either had it or been vaccinated. I'm not personally aware of anybody that is no on both of those. There may be some, but most everybody I know well has either taken it or had COVID or both.
Do you think, we're looking at this, though, a lot of places going back to the mask mandates, a lot of the, you know, the social distancing guidelines, you know the drill. The governor's very reluctant to do that. She seems resistant to it. Do you think any of that would be necessary in the future? Or do you think it's, you know, are we there yet?
I certainly agree with the governor's reluctance to do that. I'm not for any more lockdowns, you know, and particularly in the school situation. You know, you have to look at the broad issue, and there's so many things. I mean, we've basically wasted an entire school year for children. Very, very little academic process has been made. And when you look at young children, socialization skills, all those kind of things are so important to them in elementary school age. And a lot of those things are impossible to do with a mask on. And then things like teaching phonics. How do you teach phonics to first graders if you can't see their mouth and they can't see yours? So I think that we've done a lot of damage, and I'm against. I think the schools ought to be open. I think they ought to be open without masks. And I think we need to move ahead. You know, and if you're worried about them taking COVID home to their grandparents, then their grandparents need to be vaccinated. Then they need to wear a mask at home. But the schools need to be wide open because we're missing out on so many other critical areas of socialization and academics with school-aged children.
We're joined by State Senator Larry Stutz here on the program. Dr. Stutz, you talked about that. The way that what you think the schools or the education system ought to handle it, what do you think of that idea, though, of leaving it up to the local school systems? Is that the right approach, or should the state intervene?
That's a good question, Jeff. And, you know, I think they need some directive from the state level, but I think it can be the final decision can be made locally. I mean, all schools aren't the same, and the infection rate, the vaccination rate, all these things in different communities are different. And so I think there needs to be some local input with some direction on the state level.
What do you think of the idea of some kind of vaccination, guidance or something for those under, the school-age children that are eligible for the vaccine? There is a, I don't think it's as widespread here in Alabama as maybe it is in other places. There are some places that want to make it a requirement to go to school that you have to have the vaccine.
Well, the fact is, I mean, I'm in the age group that I got a smallpox vaccine at school, and I got a polio vaccine at school. So I'm a proponent of vaccines, and I understand those diseases that have basically been eradicated because of effective vaccination program. But, you know, the goal with COVID is not that we're going to eradicate COVID. It's that we're going to control the pandemic and reach herd immunity. And the problem I have with school-age children getting the vaccine is, number one, the clinical trials that were not done on young children. And so we don't have any long-term data on the vaccine in children. And the mortality rate for young children, for pre-adolescent children, is very, very, very small. I mean, significantly less than 1%. And so the children may get it, but they don't die from it, and they don't get real sick from it. There are exceptions, and I understand that there are exceptions to them getting sick, but by and large, they don't. And so a mass vaccination program for children, I wouldn't be in favor of it. I think if they get it, they get natural immunity. They get exposed. Again, if you're worried about them taking it home, then the grandparents need to be vaccinated. But I'm not for mandated vaccines for school children.
What do you think of this? Now, there's some reports earlier that I know at least in Madison County, Huntsville City Schools, that they were offering the vaccine there at school. You mentioned that with polio and smallpox, but they're also offering it with you don't have to have some kind of parental permission. Do you find that to be maybe just some places in the state? I assume probably Jefferson County, Montgomery County, two places like that. But what do you think of that? That the laws of this state don't require you to have your parental permission to go get it, the vaccine, and these school systems seem to be taking advantage of that, or at least are trying to offer it at some level. That just seems crazy to me.
I agree with you. I think you should have parental permission, and. I'm not for giving the vaccine to children, particularly not giving it to them without their parents' permission.
So, Senator, let's move on to some other things here. We just got a couple of minutes. Prisons, that seems to be the hot topic right now. Are you anticipating a special session sometime later this year on that particular issue?
Possibly. From what I understand, the only way we'll have a special session is if the House and Senate leadership all have an agreement on exactly what direction we're going to go. I think the last thing anybody wants, including I'm sure that the governor would not want, would be to call a special session and then not be able to agree on exactly what we're going to do with prisons. So I think there are a lot of plans being floated around, and when something comes up that we can agree on, I think, honestly, we're pretty likely to end up back where we were several years ago when Governor Bentley was governor, and we had a construction plan of, one, two, or three prisons, and then adding another one if needed. So then remodeling some of the current facilities. So I think there's going to be some combination of that. It's going to end up being the agreement.
And then finally, real quick, we'll get you out of here on this. I know we're going to have at least one special before for reapportionment. How are things looking on that end? And I guess I'm not really familiar. Has there been any? Do you think there's enough significant change up there in your neck of the woods that you're going to see any kind of lines drawn drastically different or anything?
I think we will. You know, the Huntsville area is growing so much that the Huntsville-Madison area is probably going to push a district this way a little bit, which will alter my district. My Senate district covers all of two counties and part of three more, and so I think I will probably end up down to probably three or four counties with a higher percentage. I have about half of Marion County and then just a small part of Lauderdale County and a small part of Lawrence County. And so I think I will probably end up losing the part that's in one of those counties and taking a bigger part of the other county. You know, the ideal way to do it, I think, would be decide on the Senate districts, and then every Senate district basically has three House members. To work at it from that angle, because I said right now I have multiple House members that I work with because I have part of five different counties, and so it really spreads it out. But I think there'll be some significant changes as far as consolidating some districts. And of the five counties that I have in my district, population-wise, only one of the counties has grown significantly. So compared to the 2010 census. So that will alter that a little bit too.
Senator, we're up against a break here, but you've been very kind to make time for us this morning, and hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you for having me on, and I hope you are doing well, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, we'll catch up very soon. That was State Senator Larry Stutz here on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hand me my hat.